before I introduce our speaker, I just one thing I really feel like tonight that I don't know if y'all sense it, but it's really like the heart of the Father tonight. A drawing to. And I sit here and think about the season we're in. You know, talking about the birth of Christ. A child was born. But the thing is, later on we had a tangible Father that we could actually see what it looked like as in flesh. We have something to measure up to. So I really feel like just tonight that everything that's been being said and the songs that was being sung, and I really feel like the Lord's pulling at the heart of that, of pulling us in. So with that, as you know, that Pascal ain't going to be here. My job is to introduce the speaker tonight. His name is Jeremy Crosby. He serves as the operations pastor at Gateway Church in Bloomingdale, Georgia. He oversees the day-to-day ministry, staff, leadership, and church operations, helping create environments where people can grow in their faith and take their next steps with Jesus. Jeremy is passionate with building healthy teams, developing leaders, and strengthening the local church. I totally get it because I'm an operations. In my job, you have to have the heart of a father to lead. Amen. So I just want to be able to say that. That's why you're here. And the Father is speaking right now. He's brung you here for that. Amen. He and his wife Amber live in Effingham County with their two kids, Jace and Oakland. Pastor Kyle has been building a relationship with him for the past couple of years and wants you to know that he is a man who leads his family well and is passionate about following Holy Spirit. He has a heart to see the kingdom of God established on the earth as it is in heaven. Would you all please stand with me and let's welcome Pastor Jeremy as he brings the word tonight.
Guys, how are we doing tonight? Y'all doing okay? Good. It's good to see everybody here. Man, I love that worship set. I don't know about you guys, but before they even open their mouth, just with the music playing, I can feel Holy Spirit moving in this place and moving in my heart. And I love that line, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but in that one of the second to last song I think we sang says, I know you're here and you're moving, and I know I'm here and you'll feel me. And man, I felt that, and I hope you guys did as well. Like they said, my name is Jeremy Crosby. I am the operations pastor at Gateway. I've been at Gateway, attending Gateway since 2011, and I came on staff in 2017, and man, God has given me a heart for people, for the local church. Weird things like finances, I can relate. I'm a Dave Ramsey guy. My wife and I, years ago, we went on a debt-free journey, paid off $260,000 in debt, became completely debt-free, and actually was supposed to do our debt-free screen March of 2020. You guys remember March of 2020? They called and canceled it, said, hey, guys, y'all aren't coming up. There's this thing called COVID hitting, so I appreciate that. But, man, I am excited to be up here with you guys. Like Kyle said, him and I have had a relationship the last few years. I'm local to this area. I graduated from South Effingham High School. Never left Effingham County. Kyle's local to this area, but I didn't really meet Kyle until about 3 years ago or so right here at Stir. I would come here and work sometimes, bumped into Kyle. We started talking. I had a lot of questions, a lot of things. I like bouncing things off of Kyle because he thinks differently, you know. And so him and I have had some really good conversations. I really appreciate Kyle and everything he does. And he invited Sam and I to the pastor's gathering over there at Stir. I don't know. I'm assuming you guys know that's a thing. So we've just been really blessed by that. We go every fourth Thursday. And our relationship has grown, our trust has grown in each other, and I never knew I would be standing here tonight doing this. I preached this message in October, and I just sent it to Kyle and said, hey, let me know what you think, man. And he said, and I love it, and I want you to come bring this word here at Relentless. And, you know, so here I am tonight, so I'm excited to be with you guys. I titled this message, When the Sun Stands Still Again. So we're going to be talking about the story with Joshua tonight. And I know Sam, if you guys were here, I don't know, a month or so ago, he kind of, this is from that same series. I kind of put a bow on it at the end. And I kind of want to start off with a question. Have you ever had a moment in life where you just felt like you needed a little bit more time? A little bit more time to complete something. Maybe a deadline was coming and you just weren't prepared. It wasn't planned out like you thought. Maybe your kids grew a little faster than your budget did and you needed a little bit more time. Maybe life threw 10 things at you at one time and you thought, Lord, if the sun would just slow down today, I just need a little bit more time and I can get this done. I need a little bit more time, I can make this happen. And I think we've all been there, moments where we just felt overwhelmed. We felt kind of outmatched. We felt outnumbered. We were just simply out of time. And I think we can all relate to that. Sometimes we just need a little bit more time. And what do you do when you're in a fight you didn't plan and time feels like it's working against you? And that's the story here with Joshua. What do you do when you're out of time and it feels like you're in a fight and just everything's working against you? That's exactly where Joshua found himself. If you read this story, we're going to read it a little bit later. He didn't find himself in a church service. He didn't find himself in a prayer meeting. He didn't find himself in a home group or anything like that. I mean, he found himself in a battle. And he stepped in to protect people that weren't even a part of the plan. You guys ever feel like you get mixed up and you're like, man, I don't even know why God chose me to do this, what I'm doing. But here I am fighting a battle that I really didn't see myself being in. And all of a sudden, five armies were coming against him. Five armies were coming against him. And I know how that feels, man. You just feel like you're overwhelmed. You feel like you're outmatched. You feel like you've tried to do the right thing, and suddenly it feels like you're in more of a battle than you are a blessing, right? And I think we all love the blessing side of things, but when we're in that battle, man, that's tense. It's something we're really not ready for, really don't really want to be involved. But that's where Joshua prayed one of the boldest prayers in all of Scripture. My computer just did something really weird there. Not God, help us survive. Not Lord, don't let us die today. Joshua stood in the middle of the chaos and prayed something so outrageous that the Bible said nothing like it was ever prayed before and nothing like it has been prayed since. How cool would it be for God to speak of you that way? Man, like they did this thing and nothing had ever happened like that before and nothing has happened like it since. Man, I just think that's so cool. He stood in the middle of the chaos and he spoke truth. Joshua prayed something we're still learning how to pray today. He prayed a prayer that wasn't just a request, it was a declaration. And I love that you guys do declarations here because it's so important, the words we speak. When we look at the Bible, man, there's so many examples of the words of God, the words of Jesus, the words of the disciples having so much meaning, right? So Joshua spoke that. And today, I want to talk about that kind of prayer, a prayer that doesn't just ask God to move, but a prayer that agrees with what God has already said. That's what we're talking about today. Now, I wanted to throw out a disclaimer. When we're talking about authority as a believer, this is a touchy subject, and that's not something I'm going to sit here and act like I have it all figured out, right? So when we talk about authority, I'm sure I can say, hey, show me your hands when you have spoke with boldness, you spoke with authority, and you've seen God move. I'm assuming a lot of people would raise their hand. I could also say, man, tell me a time where you spoke with boldness, you spoke with authority, and it didn't happen right then, right? So this is not something I tend to say I have figured out, but here's the thing I do know. I do know God's word is true. You know what I mean? And I'm going to continue to seek that. So when I don't see the results, when I don't see what I think should happen, I never say, well, I guess God has something else. Or I guess scripture doesn't mean what it says it means. That's never the case. I always think, well, man, I got some more seeking to do. I got some more understanding to do. Because I don't know about you guys, but I am just a simple enough, like I said, I'm from Effingham County. I'm just simple enough to believe God's word is true. Amen. To believe that Jesus' ministry is true. To believe that he's called us to do the same thing that he left. Why would his ministry with us be any less than it was with him? Amen? If he said it was better for him to leave and him to send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our guidance, our counselor, why would the ministry look any less? Why would that have been his plan? Everything you see in the Great Commission, right, what Jesus commanded, I think sometimes we forget about that last part. It says, teach them everything I've taught you, right? Teach them everything I've taught you. So that's what I'm here to talk about today. So number one, Joshua's prayer was both prayer and command. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. We're gonna read that scripture together. Get this water bottle open. Joshua 10, 12 through 14. Now, it'll be on the screens as well, so if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Let's read this scripture today, together tonight. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. Isn't this written in the book of Jashar? So the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed its setting almost a full day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord listened to a man because the Lord fought for Israel. Like I said, this is one of the most unique scriptures, one of the most unique prayers that you will find. Joshua's in the middle of a battle and the sun is going down, right? And if it sets, the enemies get away. And there's a lot of things that can happen in darkness when there's a battle, especially in this time. They get away, they hide, they regroup, re-strengthen, get a plan. You do not want the sun to go down in a battle during that time, right? So Joshua says to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So now wait, I want to ask you something. Who's he talking to, the Lord or the sun? The answer is yes, right? The answer is both. He spoke to the Lord, but he commanded the sun, right? When you read that scripture, he spoke to the Lord, but he commanded the sun. And it's not a contradiction here. It's a pattern that we see in bold prayers in the Bible. Joshua's authority flowed from his intimacy with God. He already knew, if you read back in Joshua 1, he knew that the promise had been made. So he wasn't acting outside of God's will. He was just enforcing what God had already promised. He was talking to God while declaring God's will. And I love that, man, because that's what bold prayer looks like. Heaven moves when earth agrees with it. It takes some faithful, bold prayers, but heaven moves when earth agrees with it. Joshua didn't beg for victory. He declared it. And that's so encouraging to me, because he just spoke what he knew God's will was. And it wasn't an emotional outburst. It was a man who knew God's voice. And man, I pray and I desire to be a man that knows God's voice. So number two, authority isn't arrogance, it's agreement. I mean, when you come with authority and you speak with authority, some people can look at you like, man, that's a little arrogant or bold, right? But it's just agreement with God's word. That's all we're saying. We're agreeing with God's word. It's not because we earned it. It's not because of anything we did. It's because of who he is. It's because of who he is. And I want to ask you this question. I kind of hinted at this earlier, but this, I want you to stop and think about this. When you read the Gospels and you see Jesus's ministry, do you ever stop and think about it like this, that he gave that ministry to you and now it's your responsibility? Right? I mean, they're great stories. They're encouraging. But do you ever stop and think, man, literally Jesus handed you the keys to that ministry and said, now it's yours. Would you look at your life and your responsibility a little different? And that's how I started reading the Gospels for myself. Every time I read something, I say, Jesus handed this to me. That kind of changed my perspective. So here's a point here. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're not signing off your prayer politely. You're stepping into delegated authority. Authority that Jesus has given you. You are representing heaven here on earth. You're an agent for Christ. And I love that. But here's the key to it. You can't command what you haven't submitted to, right? And they talked about that earlier, man. Have you accepted Christ? Have you fully submitted to the lordship of Christ? Have you fully submitted to him and his ministry and what his calling is for your life? Because that's the reason Joshua could speak so boldly, because he knew that he was stepping into the authority that God gave him in that situation, right? He became very bold in that moment because he knew exactly who he was in the presence of God. There was no doubting. He had the authority and the boldness because of the relationship and the submission that he had already done. So I ask you today, have you fully submitted to step into your authority? Number three, bold prayer is warfare and worship. You guys know this. If you've prayed a bold prayer, man, you know that it's warfare and worship. There is a spiritual battle going on every day. And when we pray, we're worshiping God for who he is, but we're also fighting the enemy and the lies and the way he tries to deceive. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we are in a battle every single day, and our prayer is warfare. Prayer isn't passive, guys. It's how we fight, right? You think about these sweet little prayers, and you think about the kid with their hands, you know, and that's sweet, and that's awesome. But sometimes, man, we go into prayer in a battle, right? We're fighting the enemy. When you pray boldly, you're not just sending up words to God. You're pulling heaven down into your situation. And I think that's powerful. You're not just sending up words to God. You're pulling heaven down into your situation here on earth. Prayer is how we push back on what the enemy is trying to advance. Because I promise you, the enemy is trying to come against you. He's trying to wreck our lives. There's no doubt about it. But prayer is how we push back what the enemy is trying to advance. Worship and warfare are connected. You're worshiping God, obviously, man. You're thanking God for who he is, thanking God for the platform he gave you, right? Every single person in this room is a minister. We're all ministers of the gospel. You have a calling on your life. He's called you to be a blessing. He's called you to advance his kingdom, but he's also called you to fight the enemy and the schemes and the lies and what the enemy is trying to advance, the foothold he's trying to get into your life. Prayer is worship and warfare. See, worship aligns your heart with heaven, but warfare enforces heaven's victory here on earth. Man, and I love that because that's what we're called to do. We're called to align our heart with heaven and enforce heaven's victory on earth. Guys, we have a job to do in our prayer life. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they need you to go to bat for them. They're in a battle. This isn't a passive thing we're involved in. This is very active. We have a job to do. And that's why when you worship through a storm, man, the enemy can't tell if you're in a battle or you're in a celebration. It's very confusing. When you worship through the storm, the enemy is like, what is going on? I'm bringing everything I have against them, and they're worshiping God. He can't tell if you're in a battle or if you're in victory. How many of us have went through something in life? A little tough, right? Man, when you worship through that, you are confusing the enemy. And I love that. Don't let that joker win. You know what I mean? Fight him. Come against him with worship, with prayer. Psalm 46:10 says, stop fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Now that sounds a little confusing, right? Because I just told you, man, you got to fight. But then something like Psalm says, stop fighting and know that I am God. But listen, stillness isn't weakness. It's a strategic position to be with the Father, to be one. It doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. It means you stand firm and know who's fighting for you, right? We speak into this, but we know, man, God's got our back. God is fighting for us. We have to activate that. And that's why prayers and declarations and speaking truth over your life, praying scripture over your life is so important. Because stillness prepares us to hear, but faith gives us the courage to speak. And man, some of us right now are fighting battles in our minds, in our lives, in our home, our marriage, in our parenting, in our workplace. I mean, I know everybody in here. I could pass this microphone around the room and you could tell me something that you're, you know, something that's going on that's a little tough. I know sometimes the holidays are tough, right? We see all these happy songs and all this, you know, and sometimes it's kind of hard to find joy in what's going on in life. And because life will throw you curveballs, things that you plan for may not happen. But man, I want you to know that to draw near to God. And like Psalm 46:10 says, stop fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Draw near to him. Because when you know who you are in whose name you're carrying, your prayer stops sounding like panic and starts sounding like power. Yeah. Right? You start praying from that place of victory. You're praying from a place of victory. You're not praying for victory in your life. Right? You're praying victory over your life. You're claiming the victory of the cross in your situation. It's not a panic prayer. It doesn't mean everything's going to always go great. But man, when you know whose you are and who you are, man, things start looking a little bit different in your life. You come in with a new boldness. I know I was talking to my wife the other day about the holidays, and there's this, you know, so much. She was like telling me, she's like, Thanksgiving's so easy. You know, like there's a lot of pressure around Christmas and a lot of going here and going there and shopping and doing this and doing that. But man, like I just thought about whatever you're going through right now, I don't know if you're excited or if you're stressed, but man, just come to the Father, right? And remember that he's got you, that he's going to see you through this season, no matter where you are. And I want to encourage you, slow down and enjoy this time of the year and who we're celebrating. Like I said earlier, man, the Christ is born, but that means the gospel arrived. Man, and that's what I'm excited about, celebrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we pray boldly, we're not trying to convince God to move. We're stepping into what he already promised. Man, and that's encouraging to me because prayer becomes warfare and worship at the same time. Our praise silences the enemy and our authority releases heaven's power because he gave you that authority. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So I want to talk about some New Testament examples of authority in action. When you read Joshua, things like that's in the Old Testament. Here's some great New Testament examples. Because obviously this wasn't a one-time thing. Many people prayed with the authority that Jesus Christ had given them. So we're going to read in Acts 3, Peter and John. All right. So Acts chapter 3, Peter and John. This is verse 5 through, I believe, let's see here. We're going to go through 10. So 5 through 10. Let's read this together. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. Now, like I said, I believe this is true. Now, I don't know. I'm not sitting here to say we all can walk up and snatch people up. You know what I mean? I know that it's possible. We see it's true. But I'm encouraged because they didn't ask God to heal the man. They commanded it. That's encouraging to me because I think it's a great example. They commanded it. And Paul, in Acts 16, verse 16, once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, spirit of divination. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, these men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God. She did this for many days, and Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the Spirit, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out right away. So we see this where Paul spoke to the Spirit and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it did. So in this case, he was using authority that was given to him. And then also Paul in Acts 13, verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that is the meaning of the name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight path of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind and you will not see the sun for a time. Immediately a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, when we read that, we, you know, like I said, it's encouraging. It's confusing sometimes. It can seem a little bold. Some people can say that, man, it seems a little arrogant to kind of go about your life that way. But I feel like they were aligned. They spoke as people who knew what heaven wanted to do in that situation. That's the only way that could have been possible, right? They spoke as if they knew what heaven wanted to do. And maybe you haven't seen things like this. Maybe you've just heard of them. Maybe you have experienced some things. I know Kyle has shared some amazing stories with me about some of the things you guys have seen in your time in ministry here at Relentless. And that's the same authority that Jesus talked about in Mark 16. It says, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Right? So we've seen things like this. But then we've also seen times in scripture where we're like, well, wait a minute, this is confusing. What does this mean? Why was this person not released of this? And one of the big examples, we've all heard Paul's thorn, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys have, if you've been in church for a while, you've studied this, you've heard this preached on, and this is something years ago I was studying and I was kind of wrestling with, because I was like, what does this mean? You know, Paul's the thorn in Paul's side, whatever it may have been. There's a lot of different commentaries and studying you can do on what the thorn in Paul's side was. But let's read that scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. And I want to talk about this and just kind of some things that I see here. So therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said there was a thorn that was given to him, and three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away. So he asked God to remove it. He didn't command it. And I actually called Kyle when I was reading this one day. I said, Kyle, why would Paul, in a few examples, command something? But then here, like, he commanded things for other people, but for himself, he asked the Lord to take it away. I was like, have you ever studied that or thought about it? And Kyle said, no, I haven't. He said, I don't know, you may be onto something there. And I don't know. I don't know why. You know, I think it's intriguing. It's something to think about. And I'm not trying to be like an heretic here and say, I have this figured out and Paul should have just spoke to the thorn. But a few different times in scripture, Paul spoke to with authority to the thing. And this time he said, Lord, just please take it away from me. And I don't know. That's interesting to me. Why didn't Paul speak straight to it? Maybe, you know, maybe he couldn't have. Maybe the Lord would have left it anyway. I'm not really sure. But I think it's important to pay attention to the difference in our prayer, because sometimes we'll speak with authority into something, and sometimes we'll plead with God for something. So think about that, pray about that, seek the Holy Spirit on that and what that means for your life. But that's an example where Paul prayed differently. I'm not sure why he did, but he prayed differently. It's a fact. And like I said, I'm not coming from a stance of this is. I'm coming from a stance of what if. Like, what if Paul could have prayed differently there? Was it a moment of weakness for him? I'm not really sure, but it's very intriguing to me. But here's what God's response in this. My grace is sufficient for you, right? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And I don't think this is God rejecting Paul. I think God is seeing Paul right where he's at, and he's saying, man, Paul, you're not losing your authority. You're not any less of a believer here. You're just proving where your power comes from. He was submitted to God in that. He received that word. And sometimes, man, God wants to move the mountain in your life or someone else's life. But sometimes God is trying to move you while you're waiting for the mountain to move. And I think that's important, because sometimes our heart isn't in the right place. We may be going to him in boldness or going to him on behalf of someone else. And man, God's like, hey, you're not where I need you to be right now. Right? And I think that's important to remember. So what do we learn in this? Here's a few points. Authority must stay rooted in relationship. Your authority as a believer is only good as if you're rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And boldness must stay anchored in grace, remembering God's grace in your life, right? So Paul shows us both. He shows us his authority to confront demons, but he also shows us how he surrendered to God's grace. And I think that's a sign of mature faith, right? Being able to speak in with authority, but also knowing when to sit still and know that God is God and you're not. Amen? Because we don't know the plan. We don't know. But here's another thing I want to point out. Sometimes when we talk about authority as believers, people get caught up in healing, right? And healing is awesome. I believe in it. I think, like I said, why would the ministry today Jesus gave us be any less than what he did? If he gave us the keys, I believe that we should be praying for healing. We should be seeing healing. But I don't want you to get caught up just in healing. And I know sometimes believers, churches, whatever, can get caught up in authority over healing. And I want to point out some other areas of your life where Jesus has given you authority in your life. So here's a couple here. Jesus has given you authority over sin. All right, Romans 6:14, sin shall no longer be your master. You don't have to live bound by what Jesus already broke. So if you're struggling with sin in your life, there's something that you just can't shake. Jesus has given you authority over sin in your life. God's word is true. If you're struggling with fear, Philippians 4:6-7 says, the peace of God will guard your heart. You have the right to live in peace and not in panic. Man, you don't have peace in your life. You have the authority to have peace in your life. You need to speak God's word into your life to give yourself peace. Man, if you have chaos and anxiety and all these things, man, that is no way, that's not attractive. And we're supposed to be attractive to the world. You need to speak scripture into your life. God has given you authority over fear. God has given you the authority over the enemy, right? I hope that we know this, but we're not asking Jesus. Jesus won. Now he's given us authority. It says this in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. God doesn't have to do the resisting you do. Tell that joker to kick rocks, right? He has no authority over you. If you feel like the enemy keeps coming against you, don't beg and plead with God. Speak straight to the enemy and get him out of your life. He has given you authority over the enemy. That's what scripture tells us. The authority to forgive and release. I know sometimes we struggle with forgiveness. Sometimes we struggle with releasing things. But God's word said he has given us authority to forgive and to release. John 20:22-23 says, you can break chains of bitterness and offense through forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very, very deep topic. There's a lot of really hard scriptures around forgiveness. You know, there's things that say, like, I forget exactly where it's at, but if you don't forgive, you'll be thrown over to the tormentors. There's things like that in the scripture. You're like, wait a minute. What does this say? But man, you have been given the authority to forgive and to release. Authority in agreement. Matthew 18:18-19 says, what we bind and loose on earth echoes in heaven. You have been given authority and agreement here on earth. And you have authority as an ambassador of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, you represent heaven everywhere you go. You are an ambassador of Christ, right? We are joint heirs with Christ. When we go to God in Jesus' name, he sees his son. You are a joint heir with Christ. And I believe that Jesus was the perfect manifestation of the Father in the ministry and the life that we see that he lived. When we go to the Father in Jesus' name, we are an ambassador. We carry the good news of the gospel in our life. We have that authority. We have that power. Man, and I want to encourage you to step into that. You know, I'm just simple-minded enough to believe that the Bible is true and that I am who he says I am and he is who he says he is. And he's called me to do what he's called me to do. And I'm going to agree with it and be bold. And that's what I want to encourage you guys today. This means authority touches every part of your life. It touches your home. It touches your mind. It touches your heart, your relationships, the atmosphere you set. Man, when you walk into a room, are people more blessed because you were there, because you were an ambassador of Christ? Or do you suck the energy out of the room? Man, walk into a room and be a blessing. Carry the authority that Christ has given you and bless people. Be an encourager. Man, we have a job to do. And authority isn't just about seeing miracles. I love miracles. They're great. It's about living with confidence that God's power flows through you in every aspect of his word. So today I have three questions I'm going to close out with, and I want you to think about these three things. So where in your life are you waiting for God to move when he's waiting for you to speak? Where are you waiting for God to move, man? He's waiting for you to speak scripture, to speak God's promise into your life. What mountains have you been pleading about instead of proclaiming God's promise over? And maybe you've been going to God and asking him to move, and he's saying, I moved 2,000 years ago. Speak the word of God over your situation. What situation needs you to step into your authority and remind the enemy who you belong to? Like I said, you have authority over the enemy. So don't mess around with him. You have authority. So maybe in your life, you need to say something like this: in Jesus' name, anxiety has no hold on me. In Jesus' name, fear has no hold on me. In Jesus' name, this fill in the blank sin has no hold on me. In Jesus' name, this sickness has no hold on me. Step into the authority that Jesus gave you, because his word is true. He gave you authority. See, Joshua spoke to the Lord and the Son obeyed. Peter spoke to the lame man and he walked. Paul spoke to the Spirit and it left. And you, when you pray in alignment with heaven, earth has to respond. That's what we believe is true. And that declaration we read earlier, I love that you guys do that. And I'm going to have them throw up the slide right here. If you're not tracking this, guys, there's a weekly declaration that goes out. Make sure to visit that. I mean, speak that over your life. Pray God's truth over your life. Words, our words are so powerful. Man, I stop people all the time. I stop myself all the time when I say something. I'm like, that's not true. I don't want that spoken over my life. I don't want that language spoken over my wife, over my kids. Man, I will grab a hold of that, reject that in 2 seconds. We're not having that. What you speak is true. Speak life over your situation. Speak God's word over your mountain. Speak with confidence and boldness because his word is true. His ministry is yours, and we have a job to do, to take the authority that Christ gave us and to carry on his ministry, to carry on his legacy. Like I said, the ministry shouldn't look any less impactful than when Jesus had it. Right? Greater is he that is in you than you that in the world. He has a plan for you. He has something, somebody that needs you, that needs your faith, your boldness. Go into the world, go into your life, go into your situation, and man, and be bold. You are an agent of Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. Guys, I don't know what else I can say, but man, have that confidence, knowing whose you are and knowing that the battle is already won. Can I pray for you today? God, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, that you know, not only the platform you've given me to be able to speak this truth, but the way you've resonated this truth in my life, the way I've seen you work. God, I know that you've given us the keys to this ministry, but you've also given us the power to carry it out with Holy Spirit guiding us, the comforter, the counselor, just giving us and showing us every step of the way. God, you've given us scripture. You've given us examples. It's very clear, very evident in your word. So I pray over this congregation, those in the room, those watching online at home, those that may watch this week, that they will go into their life with boldness, not arrogance, but boldness, seeking the truth, seeking where it is that they need to speak with authority, where they need to pray with authority. God, your word changes everything. Your word is true. So whatever it is in anyone's life today, wherever there's a weakness, wherever there's a hole, wherever there's any little spot in their life where the enemy can try to grab hold of it, I pray in the name of Jesus that they seal that up this week, that they close that gap, The enemy has no place in our life. God, I pray for anyone that can hear my voice today that has something that they're struggling with, something that's not attractive to the outside, to where if that part of our life was known, that it would be a little harder to bring your truth, to bring your word. God, I pray that they speak your word, your victory over that spot in their life. God, you love us. You're not mad at us. You just want more for us than we want for ourselves. God, and I pray that we are made whole, that we seek out your righteousness. God, you are a good God. And I'm so thankful that you give us a place to come together. You give us a place to worship. God, that you give us people to make a difference. You give us people to reach. And God, we want to take the good news of the gospel and not only tell people, but show people. So thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen.
It's a good word. Before I pray us out, the one thing that he began to talk about was the man at the gate, beautiful. I sit there and think about it. Each one of us have been that person that has come to the temple week after week, year after year. This man was crippled from birth, it said in the Bible. And they set him at the gate, and he sat there begging for funds. But the sad thing is he was asking for the wrong thing. How many of us have walked to the temple week after week, year after year, and have walked right past and had the authority inside of us? It wasn't until two men came to understand what that took. When he began to come and ask for the wrong thing, they dealt with it right there. That's where we have to begin to be. I know for years I was raised in church and I believed in Jesus. And I understood all the things it took to be a good Christian. But I'd never seen me as anything but just a poor sinner. I couldn't speak to nothing because I couldn't even see beyond myself. How many of us sitting here tonight like that? How many of us understand that the power of God sits inside each one of us? And when we begin to speak it, when we begin to read the words, and the words is alive, and we believe it, faith begins to attach to that. And heaven moves on behalf of that. It ain't because of me or you, it's because he sees us. He sees us in him. It's him. It's nothing to do with us. But I really want to be able to say it, because the thing is that I do not want anybody to leave here tonight and willing to walk in and out these doors and not see the opportunity and not take it for now on. It's your responsibility. So right now, if there's anybody in here tonight that needs prayer, it's open. If you don't go speaking to someone else until you deal with you. That's what Paul was talking about. He had a thorn inside. It's easy to go on behalf of somebody else if they give you the authority to speak to it. But if you can't deal with what your thorn is, that's why he prayed that way. So I just want to open up the altar right now. I'll close it out. But I just really feel like that God wants to deal with some things. And it may be just where you say, Lord, don't let me pass by the opportunity ever again. What little bit of faith I connect with, what word I do understand, and I speak to it right now and it moves on behalf of you. So it's open. And I just say, come. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for being a good father. God, you've begun to prick our heart before the service even began. You begin to draw us in, God, to where we can actually have a tangible relationship with a almighty God. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the season that we're in. As many may be struggling, like he had shared earlier, some may feel alone, some may feel like they don't have enough. But God, you're everything we need, and we build everything on that. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for the churches that are standing firm right now, that is shining your light in every city, God. So God, we just thank you for the ministry, the ministers. God, as we continue to press through this season, God, I pray that we have compassion for people. So God, we just thank you. And I just pray right now to God that you just begin to encourage and begin to build us up to where when we begin to speak, we know that we are speaking on behalf of heaven. And it's going to move. God, we want to be the ones that's going to pray the stupid prayers. That we're willing, that people's going to come out their way to come find us, to where that they actually believe that there's something inside of us that will remove them out of their iniquity. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for touching the places, the weak places that we've been hiding, God. And God, I pray that you just begin to build them stronger. They say if a bone, if it's broken, that once it begins to heal back, it is stronger than it ever was. So God, every place, if there's a thorn in our side, God, I pray right now that you begin to mend it. And we bind every thought and we take it captive right now. So God, we just thank you and we honor you. God, I pray right now as we begin to go out this week, that you watch over us and keep us safe. God, as churches begin to assemble all over the world, God, I pray that you just begin to protect the seed of your word that is inside the ones delivering it, that it is powerful, that it is anointed. God, I pray that you get the glory. So God, we just thank you. As Pastor Kyle and them's out, God, I pray protection over them. As he begins to return, I pray that they are refreshed, that you're speaking to them, that new revelation is beginning to just come off his lips. So God, we just thank you and we honor you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.